All right, Ecclesiastes, lesson number 3, and we're going to be in chapter 2. Lesson number 3, chapter 2. We'll cover each verse in this chapter today. And it tells us the title, Emptiness. Remember, the theme of this book is how life is empty without God. Without God, life is empty. That, if there's one lesson we get from this book, that's the lesson. Life without God is empty. And today we'll see the emptiness of pleasure and possessions. Pleasures and possessions will leave you empty in the end. And the introduction. Today's world is pleasure mad. Millions of people will pay almost any amount of money to buy experiences and temporarily escape the burdens of life. Why are people so willing to pay the money required for certain amusements? Well, because it's their way of trying to escape. Temporarily escape the burdens of life. Why do people, for example, just one illustration, we could come up with many. This isn't the only thing people do, but why are the bars filled up on Friday night and Saturday night? Well, people are seeking to escape and escape from reality. But it's always so temporary, always so fleeting. So emptiness, it still leaves you empty. Pleasures and possessions. So number one, we're going to see that in chapter 2, Solomon tested life. Solomon tested life. And this is, you know, many different outlines that I saw, but I like this outline the best because it shows us Solomon's battling with life. That's what he's doing in this book. He's wrestling with life. Remember, he's trying to figure out life under the sun. What's life all about? What's the meaning of life? But the problem is, this big portions of the book, he's wrestling with life but leaving God out. And that's the problem. He always will come back to the truth when he gets back to God. And that's the truth of any problem in life. We wrestle with a problem and we fight with a situation and we try to figure it out. We get frustrated and angry, and that's Solomon, until we get back to God. And then we realize who's in control and who to give our problems to. So he's testing life. Look at verse 1. He says it right here. Ecclesiastes 2:1. I said in mine heart, go to now, I will prove thee with mirth. Therefore, enjoy pleasure. He said, I'm searching, and I made up my mind, I'm going to enjoy pleasure. Whatever it is, all different types. He's going to mention a lot of different things. Not necessarily sinful, right? Not everything is sinful. Some things are innocent in and of themselves. He said, I'm going to try certain different pleasures. You're going to try all different things. So, letter A, Solomon continues to search for happiness in life. He's searching. Where is happiness? So, letter A, Solomon continues to search. Where am I going to find happiness? He says, oh, well, let me try pleasure. And that's letter B. Letter B, he overindulged in pleasure. All different kinds. Pleasure. Now let's talk about that. Turn to Hebrews 11. Sometimes it's not sinful, but other times it can be. But here's what the Bible talks about in Hebrews 11:25 about pleasure. And in this passage of Hebrews 11:25, we're talking about Moses. Moses. And how Moses had a choice to make, because Moses was living in the culture of Egypt, which was an affluent culture, well-to-do culture. He grew up in Pharaoh's court. So here's Moses, a well-to-do man. But he also knows he's a Hebrew, and the Hebrews are slaves. But he also knows the Hebrews are God's people. So he has a choice to make. Does he say, well, you know what? I'm just going to stay in Egypt. I'm comfortable. It's nice in Egypt. I have everything I want in Egypt. I got Pharaoh's court in Egypt. I'm just going to stay right here in Egypt and kind of just hide the fact that I'm a Hebrew. Or should I identify with the Hebrews and take their side because the Hebrews and Egyptians were not friends at all. The Hebrews were the slaves of Egypt. So he couldn't choose both. Or do I identify with the Hebrews because that's who I really am, and they're God's people? But if I do that, I can't live in Egypt anymore. Well, Hebrews 11:25, here's his choice. Moses, and it says in 11:25, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses made his choice. He said, you know what, I'd rather suffer with God's people and be in God's will than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Notice, for a season. It only lasts for a little while anyway. So, Moses made the right choice. Solomon, back here now in Ecclesiastes, Solomon is making, at this moment in time of Ecclesiastes 2, he's making the wrong choice. He said, I'm going to choose pleasure. And let's see where it ends up. Now, let's establish something in letter C. Before we get the wrong idea about Christianity, look at letter C. God is not opposed to his people having pleasure, okay? God is not up in heaven saying, I want my children to be miserable all the time and suffering all the time. That's not God's will for the Christian all the time. Suffering's included in God's plan. You know, God has our lives mapped out. And along the road, there are points of suffering where we are brought closer to the Lord, we're challenged, we learn. But God's plan for our life is not just one big road of suffering all the time and no happiness. That's not God's will. So let her see. God is not opposed to his people having pleasure, but that they get it from the right places and in the right way. That's important. Amen. We as Christians need to seek pleasures in the right places and in the right way. That's the point. Look at Psalm 16:11. If you just turn back a few pages from Ecclesiastes, and maybe somebody can read that for us. Psalm 16:11. See, we can enjoy life and enjoy pleasures in the right way if they're from God and in his timing and in his place. We can. It's when we step out of the boundaries. You know, God establishes boundaries. When we overstep the boundaries just to seek pleasure, then it becomes sin. That's the point. So what does Solomon try first? Look at verse 2. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what doeth it? He seeks laughter, letter D. First, Solomon tried laughter. Now, the Bible doesn't tell me that he did this, but and I'm sure they existed, because remember, Solomon told us there's nothing new under the sun. Maybe he went to some Old Testament Jewish comedy clubs. Don't ask me what that would have been like, but maybe he went to some Hebrew comedy club, all right? And he tried that. He said, well, I'll try comedy clubs, and I'll try to laugh away my sorrows, right? Some people try that. You know, and again, nothing wrong with a good laugh. The Bible even says that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. But what are we laughing at? You see what I mean? You go to a comedy club, unfortunately, the humor that's found in a comedy club, or for that matter, certain comedy movies, unfortunately, the humor is crude humor 90% of the time. And we ought not, as Christians, be laughing at the wrong things, you see? But in the right way, like we said in letter C, in the right way, in the right place, we can have a great time as a Christian. We could laugh, we can have a good time, and we do that. We laugh in church. We have a good time in church when we're talking and joking around. But again, as long as it's appropriate and fitting. You know, there's good, clean humor, and there's unclean humor. And we as Christians need to stick with the right kind of humor. And Solomon tries humor. Maybe that will make me happy if I just laugh away my problems. But he said it in verse 2. He says, it's mad. It didn't help me. What doeth it in verse 2? It didn't solve my problems, because then when the laughing's over, then he's probably right back to crying again, right? You see? Because the laughter only lasts for a little while. So, he tried laughter. Then in verse 3, he said, I sought in my heart to give myself unto wine. Wine. Now, he's not advocating drunkenness here, because he says after that, he says, yet acquainting my heart with wisdom. So he was moderate. I would equate this with letter E. He tried to please his senses with wine tasting. I'm going to equate verse 3 with Solomon saying, I tried wine tasting. You know, these folks, they go to these big wine tasting events, and usually it's your more upper class folks, and you know, they go to the wine tasting events, and what are they doing? They're trying to please the senses. And Solomon said, I tried that. I tried to please my senses with wine tasting and all these things. But here's the problem, and some people would maybe call it social drinking, that quote-unquote social drinking. But let's look at what the Bible says in Proverbs 20, if you turn back a few pages. What does the Bible give? What does the Bible say about wine? Here's the thing that the Bible says. Here's the real warning. Proverbs 20, verse 1. Because some folks think, well, you know, I'll just try it a little bit or socially. But the problem is that there's a very fine line there. And in Proverbs 20, verse 1, let's have somebody read that.
Wine is a mock, strong drink is reaching, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise.
It's not wise, because you know what happens is a person thinks they're in control, but they're really not. They think they're in control. They think they have the power over the wine, but really it's the opposite. The wine has the power over them. And that's what it'll do. It'll make a mockery of you. And it'll make you look like a fool. You think you're in control, but you're really not. And that's, the Bible gives a lot of warnings about abstaining from alcohol. And the Bible tells us to abstain from all appearance of evil. And we've had that discussion before. But Solomon tries the wine tasting. He says, I'm going to try to, you know, he says, I gave myself unto wine. But it didn't work. It didn't work for him. So that was letter E. Okay? Yes. With wisdom,
so
right?
Is that why he didn't continue in that?
Probably, I don't think he continued in it, and I think that phrase there just tells us he tried to be moderate about it. You know, he wasn't going out and yeah, and he's going to mention that even later how wisdom is better than anything else. Yes. Absolutely. It makes, it changes a person's behavior, and that's the sad, you know, problem. Yes. Okay, see. And that's the thing. People are going to do things. And, you know, we all go to family gatherings, right? And you know, unfortunately, most of those include alcohol. And I know my family and I will go, we'll visit. But once, you know, once the substances start flowing profusely, we excuse ourselves and say goodbye before things get crazy. And then we have to be wise about that as Christians. You know, we don't want to be even in that environment too long. You know, you say your highs and byes, and that's it. It's sad because things get ugly quickly once people start overindulging. And it's sad. Right. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And so I
tend
to stay away, but then, you know, you kind of isolate yourself
from
your family.
Yeah. I think you just have to, you know, they're going to ask questions. And when those questions come up, we have to be truthful with our children. You know, my children have asked questions, and we've told them about, you know, we'll say, well, that's alcohol. And we tell them that it's something that God tells us to stay away from, and it changes your behavior and this and that. So we have to teach them the right way, and maybe, you know, it gives them a living example of it. But on the other side of the coin, like you said, you don't want to overexpose. If that's all they're around, that's not a good situation either. Yes. You know, I think it's just talking about people in general.
Okay.
People in general, yeah.
People in general. He wanted to experience what other
yes.
people might feel like.
Right. Right. And he did. He tried everything. Yeah, we're going to. Yeah, that's good. Brother Tony.
Good example for your children because they understand that, especially
yes.
your son, is those pictures of that woman who killed her whole family driving on the wrong way.
Taconic, same parkway. Yes, it was a tragedy.
Yes, it was.
That's not the only accident.
Yeah, and there's things we have to point out to them. And we can, yeah, we can use examples like that to our children. And same thing with cigarettes or whatever it is. And they're going to ask, what's that? Well, this is what it is, and this is what it does to your body. And, you know, we have to be wise in teaching them. You're right. Now, what else does he try in verse 4? He says, okay, that didn't work. I will make me great works. I builded me houses, planted me vineyards. I made me gardens and orchards. I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. I made me pools of water to water there with the wood that bringeth forth trees. Letter F. Some people try building projects to keep busy and find satisfaction. So he tried building projects. He builded houses. He built vineyards and orchards, and I mean, you can only imagine how beautiful it was. And we're talking about Solomon, the richest man on the earth. We're talking about a man who had everything he could ever want. So I'm sure it was amazing. Beautiful gardens and houses that, you know, would make your jaw drop. He said, I built it all. But Luke chapter 2, that I think is a wrong reference. That is a wrong reference, isn't it? I'm thinking it's supposed to be Luke 20. Let me see if I probably mistyped that. Luke 20, verse 16. No, all right, we're going to skip that. I'll just tell you the story. I'll have to look that up later. Luke tells the story where the man said, I have all these things. What do I do with them? And he said to himself, I'll just build bigger barns to keep them. And the Bible says that God came to him and said, thou fool, you're going to die tonight. And then who's all this going to become?
Amen.
You see, we can't just place all our stock and possessions. And letter G, Solomon embarked on a huge real estate program. I mean, this guy was an Old Testament real estate builder. He had a real estate program. Yes, sir. Thank you. So the one disappeared. Appreciate that, Brother Sable. So you can add that to your handout if you'd like. Luke 12 for letter F. It says Luke 2, the one disappeared. All right, so Solomon embarked on a huge real estate program. He said, well, maybe I'll just build all these things and that'll bring me happiness. But you know letter H? A bigger home, a nice garden, and money will never bring lasting satisfaction. Sometimes we think it's just made, oh, if I had a bigger house, or oh, if I had this or that, it would make me happy. It won't. Maybe for a little while. But then you'll be right back to where you were. You'll get tired of it. The newness will wear off. Or some folks, a new car. If I get this new car, it'll make me happy. Yeah, for a few weeks. And then it wears off again. Yes, sir. Yeah. Yeah, they win the lottery, and then all their family members come out of the woodwork and start bothering them, and then their life is worse off than it was before. So, you know, it's not those things that are going to bring lasting happiness. And then letter I. The big lie promulgated by the movies, TV, and advertising media is that man can make his own heaven down here without God. That's the big lie. Man is trying to build his own heaven here on earth without God. So they surround themselves with riches and all these things, big house, big car, big boat. And they try to make their own little heaven here on earth, but it's not. You can't have heaven without God. And they try to make a heaven without God, and you can't. So we tried that. Then letter verse 7, Ecclesiastes 2:7. I got me servants and maidens, and had servants born in my house. He said, you know, man, I tried having all kinds of people wait on me hand and foot. Waiting on me hand and foot. So letter J, Solomon also tried having people serve him. I'll just have people serve me and bring me everything I want, and I'll just sit on the recliner and do nothing. Maybe that'll bring me happiness. No, because you know what Jesus said? The references there in Mark and Luke, Jesus said, it's better to serve. He said, Jesus said, I came to serve, not to be served. And you're happier when you're serving others. That's when you're happy, when you're serving others, not when you're serving yourself. So he tried having people serve him. That didn't work. Okay, I mean, he had everything. Because in the end of verse 7, he says, I had great possessions, great and small cattle. Look at verse 8. He said, I had silver and gold and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I got me men singers and women singers and the delights of the sons of men and musical instruments. So then he tried, in letter K, he tried to please his soul with music. But that did not last. So letter K, that did not last. He tried music. I mean, he had live orchestras, I'm sure, in his palace. Beautiful musicians. He had everything there. But again, it didn't bring lasting joy. Temporary. Okay, ladies. Verse 9. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. Look at verse 10. And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy. And he goes on. Letter L. Shopping sprees did not work for this man's searching heart. Shopping sprees didn't even work. You know, you walk through the mall and you think, man, if I could just buy this and buy that and buy this and buy that. It doesn't, it won't last. Shopping sprees did not work for this man's searching heart. He said, I went around, looked around, and anything I saw, yep, want that, want that, want that, want that. I remember, and I bring them up because I don't have a better illustration, but this one's popping up in my mind. I remember a few years ago watching a show, a documentary about Michael Jackson. And remember, he was in the store where each item is like $1,000. And I want that, and I want that, and give me one of these, and I have that. And he's just pointing all this stuff out, and he's just telling the guy what he wants to buy. Practically bought the whole store. And he never asked the price. It didn't matter to him. But when you watch that, he wasn't smiling. He wasn't even happy. There was no joy. Deadpan face, you know, his just expressionless face that he had. Very sad. It's a very sad commentary. That's an example. That's just one example of people that pick and point and buy everything and it still doesn't make them happy. No happiness. So shopping sprees. Well, verse 11. He says, then I looked. You know, he stopped and looked. He says, then I took a moment and breathed. And I stopped and looked at all the works that my hands had wrought and all the labor I had labored to do. And he says, you know what? Behold, all was vanity, empty, and vexation of spirit. And there was no profit under the sun. It didn't really make me any better. It didn't make me a better person having these things. It didn't bless me spiritually. It was all empty. Just things. We place so much stock in things. But things don't make you a better person. People, relationships make you a better person. Okay? Spending time with godly people, serving others, those are the things that better you as a person and build you up. Things are just things. They sit on the shelf in the house. They look nice, but they just sit there. They don't do anything for you. Okay? They just sit there. So things. And letter M. In the end of all this testing, he took internal inventory and came up empty. Internal inventory. He said, yeah, I could look around my house and there's all kinds of things in my house, but when I looked inside, I was empty. My house was full, but my heart was empty. And that's so true of so many Americans today. House full of stuff. Garage full of stuff. But inside their heart, they're empty. And their relationships are empty. And their family life is empty. And all those things, empty. He said, I looked inside and I was empty. And you know, letter N, if we get one lesson from this first point, moderation, letter N. Moderation is the key. It's okay to have things, but don't go overboard. Okay, it's okay to enjoy certain things, but don't go overboard with it. Overindulgence will always bring discontent. And I want to look at one verse. You don't have to turn there. I'll read it to you because I want to get to the next point. Proverbs 25, verse 16. It's listed there for you. Proverbs 25, 16. This is a good verse to put up in our houses. Hast thou found honey? Eat so much as is sufficient for thee, lest thou be filled therewith and vomit it. You find honey? Good. Enjoy a reasonable portion. Don't eat the whole jar. You'll make yourself sick. You know, that's like a, you know, a child. Yeah, a piece of candy's okay, but eating a whole jar is a whole other story. And sometimes we as adults are that way. Okay, maybe having certain things is okay. That's not a bad thing to have certain things. But if I make that my number one pursuit and go crazy and overindulge, I'm going to make myself sick. That's the point. Moderation is always the key.
God gave that good example when the Jews were...
Yes, about the food, the quail.
The pagan that they wanted the meat.
The quail.
He gave them so much that they ate.
Yes, and they got sick. Yeah, I enjoy certain foods, but if you go and eat too much, you're going to make yourself sick. A bowl of ice cream? Great. Half a gallon of ice cream? Yeah, that, you might be overdoing it a little bit, all right?
Moderation.
Yes, sir. Yeah, that's a whole nother. Yeah, plastic. Swiping the card and overindulgence, no restraint. It could. And again, you might have to schedule and say, all right, you know what, I can't just do this one activity the whole day. Yeah, limit maybe. Yeah, good point. Anything. And that's a good point. How we use our time and how we, you know, do certain things. Moderation. All right. Hobbies are okay. But if you spend the whole day on a hobby and neglect your family and God, that's a problem. Moderation. So number one was Solomon tested life. Now we go to number two. What happens when you test life and you don't put God in the picture? You know what you happen? Number two, Solomon hated life. When you try things and you don't bring God in the picture, you're going to be miserable. And you're going to hate life. And there's a lot of people out there that simply hate life because they're trying everything and nothing's working. And you really, that's where you end up. Look at what Solomon says in verse number 12. Well, let me read verse 17 first, and then we'll go back. He says in verse 17, therefore I hated life. Why? Because he tried everything and nothing worked. That's a sad place to be. And it's an even sadder place for a Christian to be. For a Christian to hate life. There's no reason for it. So that's letter A. Because of all this searching and failing, Solomon became disgusted. Solomon became disgusted. And you and I, even as Christians, will also become disgusted if we ever try to be happy without God. The moment we try something else other than God, we're going to be unhappy. Solomon was a believer. And he even is at this point of hating life. And it's very sad. But he knew deep down. Look at verse 12 through 16. He says, and I turned myself to behold wisdom and madness and folly. For what can the man do that cometh after the king, even that which hath been already done? Then I saw that wisdom excelleth folly. He did know, and that's letter B. Deep down, he knew that wisdom was better than being a fool. But he said, but nevertheless, they both end up in the grave under the sun. Yeah, but he still knew that wisdom was better. Deep down inside, you know, as a Christian, we may go through the ups and downs, and we may be upset at certain times, but deep down in your heart, you know what's right. And you got to do what's right. You know what's right. And he knew that wisdom was better. You know what happens is, letter C, thankfully, in God's will, we can love life. We can enjoy life. We can love life. Because I want to show you a scripture, 1 Peter 3:10. It's okay to enjoy life. Jesus said, I'm come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. So you can enjoy life again in the right place, in the right way. 1 Peter 3:10, look at what it says. 1 Peter 3:10. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew or hate evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. In other words, you want to love life, you want to enjoy life, then do what's right. And please God, and you'll be able to enjoy life. But the moment you try to live for yourself and do things your way, you're not going to be happy. So you can, as a Christian, enjoy life. You can, when you do it God's way. And letter D. Feeding on worldly pleasures will leave a soul famished. Famished. And malnourished. Like a famine. You'll be famished. malnourished. I remember in college, a good friend of mine, he did a pencil sketch. He was an art major. And he, you know, so he was there. He could draw amazing pictures. And he did this pencil sketch. And I wish I had it with me. But it had this guy sitting on the top of a mountain of empty cans. They looked like Campbell's soup cans. And he was sitting on the top of this mountain of empty cans, and he still had one in his hand, and he was eating. But he was so malnourished and skinny. He looked like he hadn't eaten in months. All his bones were sticking out, this guy sitting on the top of this mountain. And on the can, it didn't say Campbell's soup. On the can, it said worldly pleasures. It's an amazing picture. It was one of my favorite pictures that he made. And it just gives you, a picture's worth a thousand words. That picture says it all. Here's this guy sitting on the top of this mountain of empty cans. He's been eating, but he looks like he hasn't eaten in months. Because you'll be famished if all you eat is the world's food and the world's music and the world's movies, and you're not feeding on God's word. That's what you look like inside. That's what your soul looks like when you feed on worldly pleasures. And that's what Solomon was experiencing. And then in verse 17 and on, he goes on. He says, you know, I hated life because I saw what would go on. And he says in verse number 18, he says, yeah, I hated all my labor because I should leave it to the men that shall be after me. I worked for all these things and I can't take it to heaven with me. That's basically what he's saying. It's all staying here. And that's true of all your things. All your clothes, all your possessions, all the things that you hold dear to you. When you die, they stay right here. And someone else takes them. And you don't know who they are. Solomon says, I don't know what fool is going to take my stuff after I die and waste my inheritance. And that's letter E. It grieved Solomon to leave everything he worked for to someone else. He said, this isn't right. I work for all these things and then I die and some fool is going to take it over who didn't work one day for it. And he's going to wreck it all. And that often does happen. That's why we don't place all our stock in this world. That's why Jesus said, lay up treasures in heaven. You can't take earthly things with you. So that's why Solomon hated life. Now we'll finish with number three. Lastly, number three, Solomon accepted life. This is where he finally comes back to God. Go to verse 24. Verse 24. Let me bring out a good point. I just learned this week. In chapter 2, verse 24, we've already covered a lot of verses in this book, right? Chapter 1 and all of that. This is the first time God is mentioned in this book. All prior to this, he didn't mention God. But when he comes to verse 24, he says, there is nothing better for a man that he should eat and drink and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw that it was from the hand of God. He finally gets back to God. And you know what? Letter A. In the end, Solomon realized that a simple life is more to be desired. A simple life. What's a simple life? A simple life is where you enjoy what God has given you and you're content with what you have. Not the more, 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 I need more, give me more attitude. But no, I'm happy with what I have. You know what? The Bible says... The Bible says if you have food and clothing, you better be happy enough.
Amen.
All right? If you got food and clothes, you got what you need. And that's, you know, he was content. He said, I want the simple life. Forget all these things. And let her be. You know what? The ability to enjoy life is a gift from God. The ability to enjoy life. What good is having things if you can't enjoy them? What good is having food on the table if you have a stomach virus? Imagine that. You ever more turned off to food than when you have a stomach virus? You don't even want to look at food. You know? And think of these others who... You know, I think of the story I tell the junior church kids downstairs. We talk about the lepers who came to Jesus. And Jesus would often ask them, what do you want me to do for you? How foolish it would be for a man who had leprosy to ask Jesus for something like money. Or to ask Jesus for something like a house, a beautiful house. We wouldn't even be able to enjoy it. A leprosy, their skin falls off. They lose members of their body. And it's a terrible disease. No, they need healing. They need to be able to enjoy life. They can't enjoy anything with that disease. And it's the same true with people today. All these things, but they can't even enjoy it because God doesn't allow them to. the ability to enjoy life. He says, I saw that it was from the hand of God in verse 24. The ability to enjoy whatever God has given you. And that's letter C. Realize that you have exactly what God wants you to have. You might think you need more, but God might say, no, you don't need anything more. You have what I want you to have. Because look at verse 26. For God giveth to a man that is good in his sight, wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner, he giveth travail, troubles, to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. God gives you what he wants you to have. And we need to realize that and be content. Be content. God wants you to have, gives you what he wants you to have. When, in the conclusion, when pleasure alone is the center of life, the result will ultimately be disappointment and emptiness. People are more important than things and thrills. He was the wealthiest and wisest man in the world, yet he was unhappy because activity alone does not bring lasting pleasure. So empty. We don't want to be empty. We want to be filled with the Lord's Word and filled with His blessings and filled with our relationships with each other and other believers and filled in that way, not with things.
If you put all these things, false gods, whatever,
right,
before God, then you're the same springs of statues.
It's idolatry. You're right. Because we're making things more important than God. Now in chapter 3, if you want to read ahead, next Sunday we're going to cover chapter 3. One of those great chapters of the Bible talking about how there's a time for everything. Chapter 3 is a great chapter. So we'll be in chapter 3 next Sunday. And then it has influence, inspired the songs and things like that. It is a great chapter. So we'll close here and then we'll continue next week.